My guest in the studio today is Petr Mach, a Czech economist and former MEP who is running in the European elections for the Freedom and Direct Democracy Party. Welcome to the studio, Mr. Mach.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Mach, your party is known to be highly critical of EU regulations and in fact would like Czechs to have the choice to be able to vote in a referendum whether they want to stay in the EU or leave. So I assume that you are running in the elections in order to try and change something in the way the European Union works or the set course. Is that right?
Yes, you are absolutely right that we oppose regulation in general on the European Union level, but the main, the strongest regulation ever is the Green Deal today. It's supposed to completely ban combustion engines from the European Union market as of 2035. It makes energy, electricity and other energy sources very expensive. It makes Czech businesses uncompetitive in comparison with the rest of the world. So I think that it really endangers our industry. It makes lives of ordinary people very difficult, making energy very expensive. So my goal in the European Parliament is to have a new vote on the Green Deal. We want to completely vote down the whole Green Deal.
So you feel that at this point, Eurocritics stand a bigger chance of gaining a bigger voice in the European Parliament?
Yeah, for the first time in history, because we can observe that from the very beginning of the EU, there have been a rule by a grand coalition of Eurosocialists, European People's Parties, ruling together, and those who opposed giving more and more powers to the EU and so on, were considered by the majority as enemies and as someone who has no right to participate in decision making. And now there is a chance for the first time in the history of the European Union and the European Parliament that this opposition can have a stronger vote and can
push
through some issues, including the Green Deal.
Even if that turns out to be so, this is a problem that will not go away, needs to be addressed, climate change. So how would you go about it? You may say that Europe is not financially ready to take these measures now, but I mean, you would have to react. So how would you do that if you didn't have the Green Deal? What would you
First of all, I think that the whole Green Deal is, I would say, counterproductive, because under the Green Deal, the emissions of carbon dioxide are much more expensive than the emissions of the same volume of carbon dioxide, let's say, in China. In China, they also have some emission trading scheme. However, the price, and the price is generally set by the government, by the European Union, because it depends how many permits it issues. So, due to the fact that the same volume of CO2 emissions is more expensive in Europe than in China, it directly leads that businesses close down in Europe, they move to China, and paradoxically, production in China or India and or Brazil is often more energy expensive. So in the end, we completely undercut our economy, and the effect, the impact on global climate is rather the opposite, because we can observe that due to the Green Deal, the CO2 emissions in Europe went down maybe by one third, but global emissions rise significantly because the production of various things simply move from Europe elsewhere. So it completely does not work. Whether we should do something or not, my idea is that it would be much better if we could, in the Czech Republic, decide ourselves what to do. For instance, I would be in favor of forestation. I think that this would be it would be a much better solution for the Czech Republic. We could have better forests and more forests. It would be good for us, and it would be a small contribution to the global climate as well.
Turning now to some very important and divisive issues in this campaign. Opinion polls show that what Czechs care most about at this point and are most concerned about is migration and safety. So looking at migration first, Czechia is one of the 15 EU member states which has just sent the Commission a letter asking for it to look for new ways to address the problem of migration with the help of third countries. What is your take on the present migration pact, and what would you want to change about it?
Well, we strongly oppose the migration pact, and as well as I want a new vote on the Green Deal, I also want to have a new vote on the migration pact as well. We criticize the government who, in our opinion, were not telling truth. They said there are no quotas. They said we eventually would have an exemption because of having hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians. And I claim that neither of this is true. So actually, in the Migration Pact, the Commission is supposed to set a number of migrants. Each country should have its share calculated as its each member state's part in the whole population or GDP of the European Union. So for the Czech Republic, it would be about 3%. There is an option, instead of taking migrants, to pay out, which would be very expensive for the Czech Republic. And if some migrant from, let's say, North Africa arrives to Europe, and he does not want to the Czech Republic, the Czech Republic does not want him, then why should be the Czech Republic obliged to accept him or to pay instead? So there is no logic.
Okay, but we're part of the European Union, and the European Union has a problem, right? There is this problem with migrants. So how would you go about resolving it? Would you support this this suggestion that the EU should cooperate with third countries outside of the EU for the problem to be resolved there, so that there isn't such an influx? Or
First of all, each member state should be completely responsible for protecting its borders. We have
But that will be the end of Schengen.
Yeah. In the Czech Republic, people can arrive to the Schengen area only by plane, and we completely protect this border. No one without a proper visa or a proper passport can get illegally by plane to the Czech Republic. Countries like Hungary or Poland have built fences to protect the land border. And the same responsibility should lie with the countries that have a maritime border, and they should be responsible for turning the ships that take illegal migrants back to the countries from which they were arriving. So this is the first point, that every country of the Schengen area should protect its external border. And if the EU can help with something, I think it can, by negotiating with, let's say, Libya and other countries, maybe Turkey, so that the EU, on behalf of the member states, could open some migration centers at their territories, and then the migrants could get the decision whether we, Germany, Sweden, and so on, accept them or not, in Libya, in Turkey, and so on.
Staying on the subject of security now and looking at the war in Ukraine, the Czech Republic has been a staunch supporter of the Ukraine since the war began, has sent both military, humanitarian aid, and so on. What is your position on it now? Because now there are some parties basically pushing for peace negotiations. So what is your take on this? Should the country continue helping? If so, in what way? What should be the stand of the European Union?
We call for peace negotiation from the very beginning. And I am afraid that the current strategy of the West, of the Ukraine and of the West, is simply wrong, is not efficient. If the current goal of Ukraine and probably of the West at least as it is officially declared, is to get the whole territory of Ukraine back under the Ukraine's control. It seems to me that the current strategy does not lead to this goal. On the contrary, I'm afraid that the current strategy leads only to the eventual situation under which Ukraine has no more soldiers to fight, which would be a clear victory for Russia. So I think that we should change our strategy, and peace negotiation is a clear way how we should deal with this situation.
In the meantime, you would be against further military aid to the country, or?
Well, I think that what should come in the first place should be basic elementary agreement on a ceasefire, which would open a door for a peace negotiation. Because if the official position, let's say, of the West, of the Ukraine, is that we are ready to negotiate only after all Russian troops go back out from the European territories, it's simply not realistic. It's simply not realistic. So they should accept that a peace negotiation could start, there could be a ceasefire, and it opens a space for many ways how the negotiation can proceed. For instance, I think that maybe a referenda can be organized under some international...
Referenda on what?
In eastern territories of Ukraine, the self-proclaimed Luhansk Republic and Donetsk Republic, referenda in which people could vote whether they want to stay within Ukraine, whether they want independence, or whether they want to belong under Russia. So if there was a clear tendency of some people to declare independence of Ukraine, a civilized way how to resolve this is, in my opinion, a referendum rather than a war.
Turning now back to the workings of the European Union, decision-making and the right of veto. The right of veto is still implemented in three areas of EU decision-making. I understand that you were strongly against abolishing that right in those areas.
Yes, in my opinion, international cooperation should be based on unanimity, that is, on right of veto. And therefore, I was strongly against the so-called Lisbon Treaty back in 2009, because the Lisbon Treaty gave more powers to the EU. It took, it moved many areas in decision-making from unanimity to the so-called qualified majority. So we strongly oppose any idea to get rid of this unanimity principle in the few remaining areas where we have it.
But it complicates decision-making sometimes. How would you address
well,
that?
Well, in my opinion, no one should prevent countries that want to have some common policy to have it, but we should not force countries that don't want to participate. An example of this, you can say, well, countries that want to have the euro can have the single currency, but countries that prefer to have their own national currency should not be forced to do so. Another example, some countries are part of the Schengen area, some are not. So I think we don't need qualified majority. We simply can have a European Union in which countries participate upon the principle of voluntary participation. Those who want to have some policy can have it, and those who do not want to participate should not be forced to do so.
That sounds like you would prefer having a European Union as it was 20, 25 years ago, is that right? A looser alliance of states rather than a closer knit?
Exactly. I would love the EU if it moved back before Maastricht, or I would love an EU that would look like EFTA, the European Free Trade Association. If you look at EFTA, Iceland, Norway, Switzerland, Liechtenstein, they don't have any system of tax redistribution and subsidies. They do not need a common currency to trade and so on. So EFTA is based on unanimity. So everyone in EFTA has a veto power over everything, and it works quite efficiently.
Looking at the future European Union, would you be in favor of expansion?
I think that it should be clear from what I have said that under the current situation, with that many powers of the EU, of that vast regulation and redistribution and qualified majority voting, I oppose any enlargement, because we don't like the fact that we are outvoted in more and more areas. We don't like the fact that our taxpayers' money is used for something else than in favor of the Czech citizens, and any enlargement would add to this.
Why is it important for Europeans to go to the polls in these elections?
Because the European Union has the power to decide on legislation. It decides on how expensive energies are, what we can use for driving, whether some engines are banned or not. So the civilized way how to have your say is to vote, to be represented in a body where the decisions are taken. So those who favor these decisions, as well as those who oppose these decisions, have the right to be represented in the European Parliament. So I encourage everyone to take advantage to this right to vote and to come to the European election.
Petr Mach from the Freedom and Direct Democracy Party, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.